What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by Forbes 30 under 30, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Forbes 30 under 30, Tim Geddes.
Oh, I love it. I love your sweater. Look at that.
Thank you.
PS5 crew deck.
Yeah. Had to rep holiday. Sony today.
Yeah, exactly. Power to the players. That's not them. That's not them.
That isn't them. Holy cow. No, that is GameStop.
It's Christmas in December. Joey Noel.
It's my month, everybody. It's going to be a great month.
And rounding out the group, we have the one and only Big Kev Dog.
I have so many things to say about this.
Yeah, we're not going to say them all, though, because I want to make it clear right now. This is a spoiler-free review of Spider-Man No Way Home. It's been a very long journey to get to this movie, but we are finally here. I was lucky enough to go to the actual world premiere. Shout out to the homie at Webheaded Hero for getting me invited to that. Everyone go check him out on TikTok and Instagram because he is amazing. I had a blast. I'll tell the whole story on the Kind of Funny podcast coming up. But then the next day, these three beautiful people got to go to an early press screening to see it. So now we decided we're going to get together. It's similar to what we did for the Shang-Chi, the kind of like spoiler-free review that me and Joey did when we got to see it early. It'll be spoiler-free, and then the full spoilers will be, of course, in review that'll be coming out later this week. Now, I'm saying a lot of words here just to prep what this conversation is. We're going to try to keep things as vague as possible. We do not want to ruin things in this movie. Having said that, if we are this close and you are like, I am just at maximum hype, you don't need to watch this. You can come back later and just if you want to be extra safe. But trust me, we are not trying to ruin anything for you. Of course, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast and we'll be right there for you. Of course, we review a bunch of movies and TV shows, including the Disney Plus Marvel shows like Hawkeye. So later today, even we're going to be putting out our Hawkeye episode 5 review. What a time to be alive and to be a Marvel fan. So with all of that out of the way, Blessing, I want to start with you. Spoiler free. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Spider-Man No Way Home?
I can't say enough good things about this movie. I am blown away by how much they nailed it. This as a third movie in the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, I feel like does such a good job in terms of what my personal complaints have been with some of the Tom Holland movies, which have been, oh man, they feel like they're too tied to the MCU. Oh man, they don't feel like Spider-Man-ass Spider-Man movies. This movie feels like a Spider-Man movie in all the great ways, while also doing the thing of being very tied to the MCU, especially through Doctor Strange. And I think that is actually, it's brought it full circle in a way where Tom Holland's Spider-Man 1, right? Spider-Man Homecoming was very much like him and Tony Stark. Spider-Man 2 was him and Samuel L. Jackson, Commander Fury, or Nick Fury, thank you. And then this one is like him in a story through Doctor Strange. I think that really added a flavor to this movie that really worked. And everything about this movie that was MCU worked. Everything about this movie that was Spider-Man worked as well in a way that made this feel like a very strong Peter Parker story and a very strong Spider-Man story. I think this is my favorite Spider-Man movie, which is I think this is the best Spider-Man movie. I think this is one of the best Marvel movies, like Marvel MCU movies and Marvel movies period. It feels like such a good it's such a good like wrap up of Spider-Man, of Tom Holland Spider-Man, but then also a good looking back at pretty much all the Spider-Man movies. I can't believe how good Green Goblin is in this movie. I can't believe how good Doc Ock is in this movie. I can't believe how much they nailed those aspects of bringing back the villains and having them interact in ways, in all the ways that we'd want them to interact. Anything that we have a question about, I feel like they give a good answer for. And I just loved every single dynamic. And again, I can't stress enough how fucking good Green Goblin is. Green Goblin blew me away to the point where I think Green Goblin is now my favorite cinematic Spider-Man villain. And I did not love Green Goblin that much in Spider-Man 1. I thought he was fine. I thought he was cool. This movie made Green Goblin my favorite Spider-Man villain in the movies by far.
Wow. Okay. Joey?
So I am like a Peter Parker Spider-Man, not usually my MCU superhero choice. To the point where, like, up until this week, I hadn't even seen all of the Spider-Man movies, just in general. And so I know.
So Peter Parker. Which ones have you seen up until last week?
Up until last week, I had seen all of the Holland ones plus the first two Tobey ones. So okay. I have now completed my full roster of Spider-Man. I was like, I have to have better knowledge of Peter Parker going into this. So I've watched them all. I needed to know all the villains. So watching this, I was like, man, nailing all parts of a trilogy, I feel like is so hard. And this might be, I feel like, the best trilogy in the MCU. Like, I know that's going up against a lot of heavy hitters of MCU movies, but it was just so fun. You get so many, the villains, blessing nailed. Like, I feel like it's hard to bring in characters that people know and give them kind of like a fresh take and some like character development. So they're a little bit more fleshed out, but they really did that. Like, Doc Ock is really fun, and the way that they all interact, they're not necessarily all fleshed out the same way in terms of like, there's some favorites in there.
Yeah, clearly. I feel like there are some villains that definitely get more shine than other villains. But I also think they play to the strengths of like our connection to those. Like, we love Green Goblin.
They knew which ones to focus on.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll give them that. So yeah, like, they're just super, super fun. I think you get a lot of fun group dynamics of like, the comedy in this one hit for me on almost, I think there's maybe one thing where I was like, oh, that didn't quite hit. But like, I feel like the comedy for this was really good. You get really fun group dynamics with Zendaya and Jacob Batalon. Like, it feels just super tight. There's like no bloat to this movie. Everything that's in it feels very intentional and moving things forward. And like, I was a little bit worried when I saw how long it was. I was like, oh, this is long and stuff like that. But like, everything, they use every minute to make you just like locked in on what's happening. I had so much fun and I can't wait to see it again.
Kev.
Real quick, let me just do a quick aside, because it was the first time we ever went to this movie theater, the CVG.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, man, they spared no expense. That place looks beautiful. The seats weren't like recliner ones, but they were very comfy for the ones they were, and like really, really spacious. So I'm really blown away at how that movie theater came together.
Did you guys see it in IMAX?
No.
We did not.
Mm.
I guess we're just all going to have to go again in IMAX.
Dang it.
Man. So yeah, shout outs to the theater. It sucks that it's probably only going to be there for another like 2 years. That place seems like it's incredibly empty. But now to talk about the movie, wow. Like, I feel like I had no idea like what they were going to do with the story. And but like, I had high expectations, and somehow they went so far above what I was like hoping for, or like what I thought could be done. Like, it's in, like, the MCU is insane the way that, like, I hope that it stays in whosoever creative hands it's in right now, because it's like, if they can keep doing this for a long time, that would be dope. I'd really appreciate it. Like, I was a little worried about this movie, and then watching it, like, I was grinning the entire time. My emotions were all over the place. They hit some beautiful moments that we were expecting. They hit a lot of moments that we weren't expecting. There was character growth for characters that we didn't expect to see, ever again. And I'm just utterly blown away at how good the pacing was, how good the comedy was, how like dramatic and real certain moments get. And it took me on a roller coaster I honestly didn't expect a Spider-Man movie to take me. Not Dude, that I haven't I mean, liked all the other ones.
Uh-huh. Talking about the roller coaster, and you mentioned how funny this movie is. One of the quotes that came out from, it was either PR or one of the actors, they mentioned how this was like one of the darkest Spider-Man, or it was the darkest Spider-Man Tom Holland film. And there were legit moments in this movie where I was like bawling, and then like crying, or not crying, but bawling, but and also laughing at the same time, because one scene would be so sad and so dramatic, and then the next scene they're doing something hilarious. I've never had that during a film before where like I'm like, I have tears in my eyes, but I'm also cracking up because the movie is that funny.
Kev, you have any more to say?
The only issue I have with this movie, I feel like I wasn't a fan of either of the post credit scenes or mid and post. They did something they haven't done. Maybe they haven't done before. I just didn't dig.
They have.
Oh, they have. Okay. But kinda. I wasn't a huge fan of that. I feel like I just love post credit scenes, and I feel like as time goes on, like, I'm not gonna enjoy these as much.
jumping off right there for me. I am on the complete opposite side. I don't think I've been this excited either.
Just kidding.
Post credit scenes. I think that both of them blew me away and were things that one of them, I'm like, I'm not even going to get into deals. Doesn't matter. I fucking love them. And I think that they are incredibly hype and they're going to be some amazing theater moments that people are going to be talking about for a very long time. Just like this movie, they nailed it. They delivered. They somehow pulled it off. They pulled it together. They made it work both as a celebration of the Spider-Man 20 years of movies that we see all these villains coming back that we've known for literally 20 years over now three different franchises. And to see what the MCU's done, I don't need to get into all the details. You guys already know, but the way that MCU has kind of made franchises work within a major franchise and even franchise within the Avengers, within the MCU, and now adding the villains and stuff from the Amazing Spider-Man and the Sam Raimi movies, having all of them kind of work together is such a tall order. And I really think that John Watts and the team, they found the right touchstones to make it work for all of that crazy celebration side, but also make it work as both a standalone film where you can watch this. And I think that it works where the plot from the beginning to end, they really make it make sense for viewers. And I think that in some ways that is most of the criticisms I have of the movie is dialogue that makes it a better standalone film that is necessary to over-explain things to people that didn't just do a rewatch of all these movies going in. So I can kind of like give them the pass for that, because I think that years later when we're watching it, when we're not in this hype machine going in, it's going to actually be an even stronger, better movie than I feel it is now, which is a great thing to say. But I really do think that the third pillar is this is a fantastic end to this trilogy. They really brought the home trilogy home with it all. And you guys saying that it might be one of the best trilogies, like, I didn't think of it that way, but I do think that it is the strongest in terms of through line narrative from A, B to C, where it totally tells a story of Tom Holland Spider-Man and his supporting cast. Like, Aunt May shines in this movie in a way that she has never shined in any of the live action movies. Like, she's a real character. Happy is awesome. And it, again, this feels like a great, this trilogy feels like a sequel to the Iron Man trilogy. And I love that with the kind of supporting cast. And then the friends of Spider-Man are best in this movie that they've been so far. And you really kind of love to see it. So all of that combined, it's like, damn, they did it. This is an extremely special moment. This is a movie that I can't wait to watch in theaters as many times as I possibly can in as many different formats to get any different experience. Like, I'm going to watch this movie at least three times in theaters, and the 2.5 hour runtime is not going to dissuade me at all, because like Joey said, it just goes and goes and goes. And the roller coaster, there are tears, there are cheers. You're going to get it all. The theater was losing its mind. And granted, I was at the premiere, but I expect that it's going to be even crazier for the general public that might not know all the intricacies and have their theories and stuff. And as somebody that's been theorizing about this movie, that's looked at every poster and dissected every little frame of things released, I was genuinely surprised, and in a positive way. I feel like the amount of answers they had to questions that I was asking, I'm like, whoa. You did it. And it kind of was just served on a beautiful platter. And it was like, hey, Tim, this is for you. And all the things, the worries that I had, that again, I'm going to be vague about this, but if you've been listening to me, I'm kind of funny a long time. I was like, I had a couple things. I'm like, what I really want to see from this movie is X, Y, and Z. X, Y, and Z were delivered to me. And I can't fucking believe it. Having said that, I do think that this is Spider-Man Endgame in every single way, where it almost functions less as a movie and more as a like amazing excuse to make things happen. And that's not a complaint, because the MCU has proven that it can do so many different things well. But in the way that Endgame was a celebration of 10 plus years of MCU and movies and setup and all that stuff, and it kind of allowed us to go back and have these moments with references and payoffs to a lot of things set up in other movies, that when we went back to Dark World, it was like, that might have been one of the worst movies ever, but Endgame made it cool. I feel like this movie had a little bit heavier lifting because of the baggage of the Spider-Man movies with the villains specifically. So it's a little bit more of a struggle to have it work by itself, because there's a lot more dark worlds in Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Totally. But they really did the best they fucking possibly could have. And it's very, very hard to not be extremely, extremely stoked about this movie. And I can't wait to see people react to this and talk about this, because it's special. And and they did it. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. Of course, anybody that listens to this show knows that I absolutely love MeUndies, and you will rarely see me not wearing multiple articles of MeUndies clothing at any given time. Even right now, I got the shirt, I got the lounge pants, I got the undies, and I got the socks because I love covering myself in that soft micromodal fabric. You can get your festive on with the new MeUndies holiday collection featuring classic plaids you know and love and sweater-inspired prints that will quickly become favorites. Their undies, loungewear, and sleepwear are made out of soft, breathable, stretchy fabrics that are ideal for sitting fireside with loved ones and a cup of hot cocoa. You can get the family photo you've always dreamed of with matching PJ sets. They're available in sizes extra small through 4XL, and MeUndies has a little something for everyone on your list. MeUndies has a great offer for you. First-time purchasers can get 15% off and free shipping. Your days of fighting for your life in the mall parking lot are over. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Next up, shout out to Trade Coffee. Whether you're a coffee nerd or a coffee newbie, you need to hear about Trade Coffee. They want to make every cup of coffee your best ever. Trade matches you to a selection of their over 400 craft coffees, all based on how you answer their coffee quiz. They consider whether you like French press, auto brew, or even cold brew, and pair you with the perfect choice. And if you don't love it, they'll replace it with a different bag for free. Trade Coffee is awesome. It's really fun to do the quiz and, you know, just kind of learn a little bit more about the wild world of coffee that's out there. For you guys right now, Trade is offering your first bag free and $5 off your bundle at checkout. To get yours, go to drinktrade.com/kindoffunny and use promo code kindoffunny. Take the quiz to start your journey to the perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny for your first bag free and $5 off your bundle. And this holiday season, give the coffee lover in your life the gift of better coffee too. Again, that's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Audible. This episode is sponsored by Audible, and I bet you have discerning taste and you're always looking for something new to listen to. Well, you should check out Andy Weir's Project Hail Mary on Audible. It's an interstellar science-based thriller from the best-selling author of The Martian that's skillfully performed by Ray Porter, who brings the already gripping tale to life with vibrant and witty narration. In it, a lone astronaut must save the Earth from disaster in an epic tale of discovery, speculation, and survival. It's part scientific mystery, part intergalactic journey, and all edge of your seat entertainment. This Audible Studios production of Project Hail Mary is a number one New York Times audio bestseller and continues to top Audible's bestseller charts and garner rave listener reviews. You don't want to miss this. Listeners are already calling it's the highest order of geekgasm metal. You can go to audible.com/Project Hail Mary and listen now. That's audible.com/Project Hail Mary. Finally, shout out to HBO Max. Tis the season to discover exclusive originals, addictive series, and award-winning performances. And you can get into the holiday spirit with Max originals like 8-Bit Christmas, a stop-motion animation extravaganza. Or if classics are more your speed, they have you covered there too with Elf, Miracle on 34th Street, The Polar Express, Gremlins. Of course, that's a Christmas movie. And if you haven't seen it in a while, it's hilarious. So go check it out. Who could have forgot everyone's favorite, A Christmas Story? HBO Max is the streaming home of over 13,000 hours of addictive series, blockbuster movies, and exclusive originals. Turn binge-worthy watching new favorites into your next holiday tradition. You guys, I've been loving HBO Max. I've been loving it a lot. There's so much fun stuff to watch, whether it's reality shows like F-Boy Island or the upcoming Matrix Revolutions. Get hyped. I can't wait to see it. Visit hbo.ax/kfdec to start streaming on your favorite devices today. That's hbo.ax/kfdec to start streaming on your favorite devices today. It's a kind of funny December. KFDEC. Check it out.
I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of like this being the end game for Spider-Man. And I think one thing that I really do love about this movie is that it does such a good job standing alone as well. Like this being Tom Holland's story, even though he has these villains from these other movies coming in and all the stuff happening around him. Like I had a lot of worries too going into this, watching the trailers and going, there's something about these trailers that feel off. Oh man, these villains that they're bringing in from these other universes, like how are they going to explain them? How are they going to treat all these villains well? Because we've had the thing where we've had Spider-Man movies that have had too many villains, right? We talk all about how Spider-Man 3 had too many villains. This movie had the same task ahead of it. And the way that it tackled that, in a way that made it feel Endgame-like in terms of, you know, Doc Ock is here, Green Goblin's here, Sandman is here,
Electro,
and they're all interacting with each other in a way that we never thought they would. Even though all of that stuff is happening on a very big, like, you know, fanboy level for us, where we watch and we go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Still, Tom Holland's story, I think, is, for me, my favorite Tom Holland story, or Tom Holland's Peter Parker, Spider-Man story, in this trilogy. Like, I think he got so much progression in this movie, and all those core Spider-Man characters from this trilogy got so much progression. And in the way that, going back to, like, critique of, man, this feels very tied to the MCU. Okay, well, that's fine, because this is a different Spider-Man. This is the one that made me go, oh man, this guy's my Spider-Man now, in a way where it's like, I think this movie is going to be, when we look back at it in like 10 years from now, the most iconic Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2. Like, I think this movie has elevated to that level of, no, this is the, like, this is the quintessential Spider-Man movie now.
I will say, the way this movie ends is simply unbelievable. Like, it is, it is 10 out of 10, and it is like, I could not have even thought that they would come close to pulling off what they pulled off, where I didn't, like, here's the thing. How the fuck did we just watch this movie, and because of how it ends, I'm even more excited for the next Spider-Man movie than I am for this. Like, that to me is like, yo, yeah, you pulled it off. You pulled it off, because it is boom.
Also, shout out to the fight choreography. I was blown away in a lot of the fight scenes. There's like Spider-Man, I think, tends to have a very acrobatic, fast-paced, flying all over the place fight style in all of his movies, because he's Spider-Man, right? And like, that's how he's supposed to be. There are quite a few fight scenes in this movie where shit feels personal and shit feels real. And
very,
like,
visceral.
It's a very visceral.
Violent.
It feels so different from the Spider-Man fight choreography in the past, where it's like, bro, like, people are like, I'm not gonna say much because I don't want to give too much away, but like, people are fucking like getting like slammed. People are like throwing haymakers. Like, people are fighting. And again, going back to this feel, this is the darkest Tom Holland Spider-Man movie that there's been. Like, yeah, like that, in the way that it's shot and in the way that, you know, like, villain intentions, like, all this shit plays out, it does this trilogy, and it does Spider-Man period, I think, so much justice in a way where I've never felt like there were stakes in Spider-Man 1. I never felt like there were stakes in Spider-Man Homecoming, I mean, in Spider-Man Far From Home. This movie, I think from the get-go, I was like, yeah, I feel the stakes. And throughout the movie, I felt the stakes. Like, if this feels like a real-ass Spider-Man movie in a way that, like, Amazing Spider-Man, those movies felt like they're trying to be dark and gritty. But, like, and those movies had stakes as well. But I those movies also were missing, like, a lot of the heart and a lot of the comedy and a lot of the stuff that made Spider-Man Spider-Man, right? Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man movies, I think, for me, missed a lot of, like, the, I guess, like, the polish and the TLC that could have made those movies even more incredible. This movie, I feel like, hit every single thing that you want out of a Spider-Man movie. And so I'm with you, Tim. I cannot wait to watch it again in theater. I'm going to watch it at least like 3 times.
Yeah. Speaking of the fight stuff, just a fun little Easter egg for people to look out for. Tom Holland, in an interview last week, was saying, someone was asking him, have you played the PS4 Spider-Man game? And he was like talking about, yeah, I love it, whatever. And they're like, is there anything from the game that might be in the movie? And I'm not going to spoil if certain things are. But one thing he said to look out for, he's like, there's one move that Spider-Man does, and we did it in the movie, and it's really awesome. And when I saw it, I lost my shit, and y'all are gonna fucking know exactly what it is. It is so cool, and it is an oh damn moment, and they pull it off very, very well. To touch on something real quick, because I want to say this, bless you, saying that you think that Green Goblin's your favorite villain in this. I think that as an ensemble, the villains are very well treated for the most part. I do have a lot of questions. I can't wait to watch it again, because I feel like most of the questions I have will be answered by, like, paying attention to dialogue and kind of knowing the direction things are going will allow me to make more sense of it. But I do think that this movie doesn't necessarily have its Vulture moment. Like, it doesn't for the villains. Like, I still think Vulture is a superior Spider-Man villain.
Man.
And I think Mysterio's better too, as well.
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm not going to be on the spoiler cast, but I'm going to talk to you later, I guess, about it, because I have my
You can definitely come.
I'll come in on my chime. Especially because, like, I got a pushback on that.
Yeah, so it's gonna be fun. There's a lot to talk about this movie, and that's the thing. There is a lot to spoil about this movie. There are so many things that are spoilers. So many. I don't think a movie has ever had this many spoilable things. Like, Endgame is the only other thing, right? You know, in Endgame where it's like, and then Cap picked up Mjolnir, and then there was the portals, and then they went back to 2012, and then all that stuff. It's like, you literally could do that for this movie. Yeah. And it's like me and my boy, after we left the movie, of course, we went out and talked for fucking hours about it. And we're just like, yeah, the first 45 minutes, I guess it wasn't as good as the rest just because of what's happening and all that stuff. And then it was like, okay, but what happened in the first 45 minutes? And it was like, yo, what the fuck? This movie's insane. Like,
the first 45 minutes is incredible. The way it's shot alone is so good because it feels, if from the get-go, they establish that, hey, no, this is a different, it's in the same trilogy, but it's different, right? We are establishing this stylistically as like doing its own thing from the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. And again, I think every single way they treat it, from choreography to shooting to character dialogue to the banter to the back and forth, the relationships between different characters, how characters react to seeing other characters. Oh my god, it's fucking dope. It's fucking dope.
And Michael Giacchino, excuse me. Yep.
Oh, man. I like he was like Kev after
yeah,
the credits.
She's like, Giacchino.
Yo, he went off. He went fucking off, man. And the thing is, one of the biggest things I've always said is like the MCU Spider-Man theme is so damn good, but we haven't had it hit yet, and it hits so incredibly hard in this damn movie. Yeah, and the credits music they use, you know how the first movie had Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones, second movie had Vacation. The one this movie uses, I'm just like, y'all didn't need to do this to me, man. Like, it feels like a personal gift to me. Like, these motherfuckers, man. Thank you. Thank you, Sony.
I was so like enthralled with the story that like I don't know that I listened, like enjoyed any of the musical aspects of it. I at the end, the credits definitely, and when his name pops, I was like, oh shit. But like, that is one thing I'm very excited to like go rewatch and like not just be so like taken by like the video or, you know, the story aspect of it, and I'll try to like take in some of the surrounding stuff.
And he's taking over for Doctor Strange, I think, too, right? Giacchino? I think that just got announced. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I mean, he already proved in this that he can do the Doctor Strange score extremely well. Yeah. Because the Strange music in this is phenomenal. Oh,
I can't believe we went this whole review and we didn't really talk about Doctor Strange.
There's so much to talk about, but we're going to be talking about this movie for a very, very long time to come. Like I said, I'm going to talk more about the premiere experience on the Kind of Funny podcast we got in review, which will be our last piece of Kind of Funny content going up this year on the Kind of Funny Prime channel. So very fun. Check that out. A little sneak peek. The last piece of gaming content that's going up this year will be what, Blessing?
It'll be the Blessing Show, so look out for that.
Yeah, love.
Are we going to talk about some Game of the Year stuff? You'll have to tune in to see.
You will. Let us know in the comments below how excited you are in the final moments before you go see Spider-Man No Way Home. And until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.